Next on BYUSN, we're 2 days out from BYU and Alabama in the Sweet 16. Where do the Cougars hold advantages over the Crimson Tide? We'll break it down. ESPN's Sean Farnham joins us to preview the Sweet 16 matchup, plus what this year's NCAA tournament run means for Kevin Young and BYU in year one. The transfer portal officially opened yesterday in college basketball. How active do we expect BYU to be in the portal this offseason? And Puka Nacua announced his plan for an early retirement in the future. What is it, and how do we feel about it? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, March 25th, and this is BYU Sports Nation. Spencer Linton, we've got some shirts, baby. Shout out BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Sweet 16 shirts, baby. You can get them at BYUstore.com right now.
Hey, did you hear that BYU is in the Sweet 16? Did you know that?
I did. I can feel it on my chest.
We've had a few people, and by a few, I mean many, send in responses saying this isn't just the third Sweet 16. But it is in the modern era.
Okay, so we looked up the claim of Sweet 16 and, like, what was it, 57, 65, and then here's the thing. BYU didn't win any games in there. They got, like, a bye to the semis of a regional that happened to be 16 left. If you don't win a game in the tourney,
you can't qualify as a Sweet 16.
I'm sorry. This is BYU's third Sweet 16.
Yes.
Also, and frankly, we've talked about it. Like, what was it, 85 when it expanded to 64 teams? It's just in the modern-ish era. Is modern like our lives plus? Is that how
Maybe.
We sort of see this? Like the 80s on or whatever? Crew here, they're like, modern? That's not modern. Third Sweet 16, whatever. The point is BYU's in it, and it's awesome, and you can get these on BYUstore.com. Right now, they feel good. This is some decent quality. I like it. It looks good. It feels good. Let's go.
All right. Well, we've got our T-shirts on just in time for What's Trending. Rise and shout. Let's get to it. This is the best offensive team that BYU has seen.
Hands down.
BYU is going to need to be elite again on offense.
This is a challenge for BYU, but the way BYU is playing, they can play with anybody in college basketball.
Including Alabama. What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. 2 days away, just 2 days away from watching BYU take on Alabama in the Sweet 16. And as we pointed out, third time in program history in the modern era where BYU had to actually win games to get to a Sweet 16.
We have to say that whole phrase now.
Just clarifying.
Third Sweet 16.
I've had so many. Enough of
no.
you have asked.
No.
We clarify now. We clarify.
I'd never even heard of those Sweet 16s until suddenly 2 days ago. No.
BYU is a 5.5-point underdog to Alabama. Ken Pomeroy, stats guru in college sports, gives BYU just a 32% chance to beat the Crimson Tide. Jerem, do you agree or disagree with those metrics? 5.5-point underdog, 32% chance that BYU beats Alabama.
I think that's fair. You look at who Alabama is and what they've done this year in the vaunted SEC. This is a team that is a 2-seed. They could have been a 1-seed a couple weeks ago, kind of stumbled at the end of just a little bit. They're 7-5 their last 12. BYU's 11-1, just for reference there. Lot of wins versus Ken Pom, top 40. BYU, it's like BYU's whole resume against Alabama's whole resume. Yeah. The way BYU's playing.
Ooh, right now.
I would actually have this a little bit closer.
Right now.
But you look at everything and all the numbers. They're not ignoring the non-conference. They're including it. But BYU's a very different team from, frankly, 2 months ago to 1 month ago.
This is how it should be. Alabama is a 2-seed. BYU is a 6-seed. Is anybody shocked that BYU is an underdog?
Also, does this matter? It doesn't matter.
Did it matter that BYU was an underdog against Wisconsin? Granted, it floated between 1.5 and 2.5 points, so it was closer than the experts are saying that BYU and Bama will be. But still, you look at all the Sweet 16 matchups, I think BYU is the second closest projected matchup of every Sweet 16 game, aside from maybe only Tennessee, Kentucky, and then there might be one other. But the point is, BYU and Alabama, one of the closer projected matchups. 5.5 is not that much for an Alabama team that has one of the most electric offenses in college basketball. They play with more pace than any team in the country.
I would say the most electric.
They are So good.
On paper, they're the best offense, which we'll break down in a moment.
This tells you how good BYU is, that they're only a five-point underdog and still have as high as a 32% chance to win this game.
This doesn't matter to me. These numbers of, they're a favorite, the percent, it doesn't matter. Because the way BYU is playing right now, it's closer to 50.
Like, we're buying into the what have you done for me lately.
Yes. Who cares what you did in November now? Who cares?
No, nobody should, but some people apparently do.
I'm in year, 13 of my marriage? It doesn't matter what I did years 1 through 12. It only matters what I do now. You know what I mean? Like, the way BYU is playing right now is fantastic. Remarkulous, as I said on the pregame show like a month ago. It's remarkulous. You know what I mean when I said that.
Think about what BYU has done
in
their last 12 games. And again, we'll get into the details of this.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's dig in.
Okay, let's break down different aspects of the game and discuss who has an advantage, BYU or Bama. Well, okay. So let's start with the offense, BYU or Bama. Who has the edge?
Alabama, slight advantage.
Agreed.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They're not as good as BYU defensively, I don't think. Metrics would say maybe otherwise.
Metrics say otherwise, okay. Yeah. We'll talk about that.
But again, this is...
Don't jump it!
I know! This is going off what my eyes tell me lately. They're like, BYU is a different defensive team right now than they are their overall metric. And Alabama kind of the same way, but trending in the other direction. But I will give Alabama's offense the slight edge here. They're the best offense in the country! And it's okay. This is a unique and huge challenge for BYU. But BYU shouldn't be afraid of anything.
No.
They've played Houston twice. Okay? That's a terrible matchup for BYU. Alabama is not a terrible matchup for BYU.
No. In fact, it's just two teams looking in the mirror. I'm going to say this a couple times this week, but this will be the first. BYU does not have to play great to beat Alabama.
They have to play well.
They just have to play better than them on that day. Do you recall when BYU beat number one Gonzaga in Spokane in 2017?
Oh, I do.
What was the score at the beginning of the game?
18-2!
That's exactly right. And BYU won the game. Why? Because they didn't have to play perfect or great. Don't be the fool that says BYU has to play perfect to beat Alabama.
They built momentum late in the game.
You just have to be better than them in that game on that day.
That's the beauty of this tournament.
It's not a seven-game series. It's a one-game series. So BYU has to just play better than Alabama on Thursday at 7:09 Eastern time.
Cue the Miracle on Ice speech.
Right, which I watched Miracle prior to the final in Four Nations, by the way. Oh, that was great. Okay, Bama's number four in offensive efficiency, number one in points per game, number one in tempo. They are the number one offense.
It's fine. They
BYU
have the advantage.
Is not far behind. They're ninth in offensive efficiency, and they just put up numbers against Wisconsin that have never happened in an NCAA tournament game in history.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that stat?
Oh,
yesterday?
I remember. Opti stats for the win.
Opta stats, FTW, as the kids say. I don't think they say that, but they spell that out.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yep.
We've given Alabama the slight edge on offense. And again, it's significant that it's only a slight advantage.
Yes. And I was intrigued by what Nate Oates said after Alabama beat St. Mary's when someone asked about playing a team in BYU that, is it refreshing to play a team with a similar style? He had a funny response.
I don't know that I want to say it's refreshing to go against somebody that plays like us because I think we're really tough to guard. I mean, we've led the country in scoring the last 2 years. I don't think anybody's saying it's refreshing to play Alabama, whoever's running the defense for the other team. So, and I mean, in a way, maybe it's not such a smash-mouth game, like not playing football out there like some of these teams, but they're not easy to cover. Like, I mean, they're running great sets. They've got shooters all over the place. They're good. So we're going to have to really lock in. And
BYU's not easy to cover. Alabama's not easy to cover. This is why many of you are anticipating a first team to 90 wins the game. I'll add this
Absolutely.
In terms of a slight advantage for Alabama. Mark Sears is a bucket getter, and he's a guy that you know at the end of the game, if you need a bucket, you put the ball in his hands. BYU has Richie Saunders, but he's not quite that guy like Mark Sears is.
Yeah, Mark is the best one-on-one player in this matchup.
And that's fine, and that's a slight advantage for Alabama's offense.
Yeah. He didn't play great, I would argue, in the two games.
Yeah.
Later in those games, he made some shots that were important. That's what you're talking about. So we'll see. We'll with Mag Trey Stewart on line three.
Alabama gets after it on the offensive glass as well. Can BYU
number one rebound team in the country.
Slow them down there. Can you slow them down a little bit there?
Five on the glass.
Okay, let's talk about an element of rebounding that plays into BYU's defense and then Alabama's defense. Which team has the advantage in that category?
So on paper, like we talked about, it's Bama, 29th, BYU 71st in efficiency. However, what if I told you that Alabama has allowed 80-plus 19 times to BYU 9 times?
Oh, how about that?
Okay. South Dakota State scored 82 on Bama, but the Crimson Tide scored 105 back in December. Robert Morris lost the game 90-81.
Bob Morris.
You're telling me Bobby Morris scored 81? SMC, no one calls him that, St. Mary's College, mustered 66. That was it. In a slower tempo game, Alabama had 80, even though there were fewer possessions in that game than normal. That was a who will put their tempo, their footprint on this with tempo. I think BYU could easily get mid-80s, if not 90s, in this game. It's just whether defensively.
Can do enough.
They're going to hold down.
Can you do enough?
They don't have to be great against Alabama. Again, they just have to hold them down a little bit. But how many games has BYU won this year where it was like BYU in the 90s, the other team in the high 80s? That's the kind of game this could be. BYU's won a bunch of these.
Some of these teams that BYU beat late in the season played their best offensive games of the entire season and lost to BYU.
John Tonja scored 37.
Arizona and Iowa State and Wisconsin all had ridiculous offensive numbers and lost because BYU made a couple of critical plays down the stretch on defense. Can BYU do something similar?
Yeah.
To me, it comes down to that. Can you just hold them off enough and do what you typically do on offense?
Yeah.
I like BYU's chances probably more than most. And it's probably because I'm wearing, blue goggles to a degree. But how blue are they given what we have seen BYU do recently?
The nation agrees.
Why should I doubt them?
The BYU's, there's no reason to. They're playing so great right now. Let's go. Okay, let's talk about star power. Richie Saunders has been playing like a star for BYU. Air Saunders, the tater tot king. Mark Sears, consensus, first-team All-American. He was second-team All-American last year. Who has the advantage in star power?
Alabama has the advantage here, and it goes back to Mark Sears' clutch factor. And he's a proven commodity.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable – he is Jalen Brunson part two, as we talked about
there's
yesterday.
Not too many just smaller left-handed point guards that are as tough – to guard as him.
He's the guy that gets the ball at Auburn, and hits the game-winning bucket at the buzzer.
Yeah.
That's Mark Sears.
Yeah.
So star power, you give it to the first-team All-American.
We believe in Sears around here. Prophet Sears and Revelator.
Now, I will add this.
Not S-E-A-R.
The growing rhetoric around Richie Saunders has a little bit pushed aside a guy like Mark Sears because Richie is now like one of America's favorite players.
He has a personality point.
People want Richie Saunders to be great now.
There are people who see Richie and say, oh, I could be that guy. It's like, no, you can't be that guy.
There are levels to star power. Richie's celebrity right now absolutely wins in this
category.
Never
been higher. It may not be higher ever. It's awesome, man.
So what is star power?
Richie could be drafted in the end of the first round, next season, and it wouldn't be higher than what it is now.
I would dare say that if you ask a typical fence-sitter, March Madness basketball watcher, if they know who Richie Saunders is and who Mark Sears is, more right now would have to know who Richie Saunders is.
Because they've eaten tater tots.
They have experience.
Shout out F. Nephi Grigg.
This personal connection to Richie through that little crispified deliciousness known as the tater tot. So in that instance.
What did you say? Crustified delicious?
Crispified.
Crispified.
Yes. Huh. I'm making up words.
I like that.
Okay.
I'm not hungry, but I could go for some tater tots.
It's not like Richie hasn't been an absolute star recently, too.
First team All Big 12. You're a great player if you do that.
He's just not a first-team All-American.
Sure. It's Alabama. Who cares, though? BYU's got a great team that can hang with Alabama.
Let's keep it rolling. This matchup features two of the most prolific three-point shooting teams in the entire country.
It'll be fun.
Go figure with everything we've discussed.
Yep.
So as far as three-point shooting goes, who has the advantage?
BYU by an edge. Just a barely. Let's take a look at some of the numbers. So BYU's 2.3% better. The percentage of points is 2.2 more. Alabama shoots it 0.7 times more than BYU. There's someone who shoots more threes per game than BYU. Yeah, Alabama. BYU makes 0.4 more per game. Players with 35-plus makes. I looked this up this morning. BYU has 6. Mm-hmm. Alabama has 3. BYU has higher percentage of
there's more balance.
Makes, and they have more dudes that shoot it. So it's BYU by a hair, but again, this is going to be a fun game. Like, I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, to me, the clear advantage here is that BYU just has more options.
Yes.
More options. That, to me, is the headliner in this category. Yeah. They get the advantage to BYU because, as you pointed out specifically with the six, I just feel like you can go so deep down the bench and be like, you can shoot threes. You can shoot threes. You can shoot threes. You can shoot threes.
And it's like against Wisconsin, Mihailo and Trey make threes. They're not in those 35
no.
plus. Like the but BYU has everybody but Foos and Kaba will shoot threes.
Jeremy, there are 9 capable, proven three-point shooters on BYU's bench right now. They can go in and knock down multiple threes.
Not bad. Okay, last but not least, BYU and Bama play with great pace. They get up and down the leg to run, so they need their bench. Both top 15 in bench scoring per game. So, with bench scoring in depth, who has the advantage with the bench?
Now, this is probably the most difficult of all of these for me, because when you compare the two benches and the experience factor and everything that goes into it, it's like, okay, well, are we valuing, again, what we've seen recently? Or are we looking at the entire season? Because the entire season conversation, I'd probably give to Alabama. But with BYU's emergence in the back half of season and into postseason play, I think BYU's bench is just as good, if not a little bit better, than Alabama's is playing right now.
Let me give you a couple numbers there. So BYU contributes 3% more minutes from the bench right now, and the points per game on the bench from both teams is the exact same.
How wild is that?
30.43. Isn't that wild?
That is incredible.
Crazy. And I'll share this last nugget regarding this matchup. Since February 11th, when BYU started its 9-game win streak, in overall efficiency margin, meaning offense minus defense, BYU's fourth in the country. The top three are Duke, Houston, the other one seed. I'm trying to remember who it is. Florida, thank you. Auburn is fifth. So it's the four seeds with BYU wedged in there in terms of who's playing the best. Alabama's seventh. They're amazing. They're 7-5 the last 12. They played in a tougher league than BYU.
Two of those losses were to Florida.
Right. Florida's awesome. Todd Golden. Different SOS, right? But the way BYU is playing, they are playing since February 11th like a one seed. Why can't they win this game? They absolutely can.
Just make it weird early. Just put the heat on early. Get the crowd behind BYU because
like
guess what? The crowd, I believe in large part in New Jersey, will be behind BYU.
Mm.
They've entered
the Arizona and Duke fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't think Duke fans would rather play BYU than Alabama?
For sure.
Yeah, Duke fans are going to be all in on all blue on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, I really like BYU's bench. And here's another difference. How many times has I didn't have enough time to go and look this up. I was thinking about it on my drive in. And it just occurred to me that BYU's bench outscored their starters 3 times over the course of the last 12 games. I'm banking that Alabama's bench did not do that. That again, Alabama's bench is incredible, but they're led by an All-American, and he does a lot of scoring.
They got a good.
Their starters do a ton of scoring. BYU's bench has every capability of outscoring their starters again, and it puts BYU in winning position. That is crazy.
That is crazy.
3 times in the last 12 games. Our question of the day: where does BYU hold the biggest advantage over Alabama? We've given you our thoughts in several different topics. At ABeach319 on X says BYU is playing as the clear underdog and hasn't been in the Sweet 16 for 14 years. Alabama went to the Final Four last year, and all of the pressure is on them to do it again. Okay, do you buy into the pressure dynamic that Alabama's feeling it more than BYU, and that is somehow advantageous?
If I'm Alabama, I'm feeling pretty confident. We played the number one strength of schedule. We're the number one points per game team. We're a 2 seed. We could have been a 1 seed. Stumbled a little bit at the end. Yes, BYU does some great things. It just depends what side of the coin you're looking at, I suppose, on that one.
Okay. Yeah. At its rise underscore coop on X says, on defense, where BYU has an advantage. With Alabama playing a similar offense to BYU's, the defense needs to just barely outperform theirs. Mo, Whit Mag, and Trey Stewart could be a huge factor in winning this game, in my opinion.
I think BYU's defense, they're playing well since.
How are they going to defend Grant Nelson?
He's the one that is tricky because the Alabama 5-man, I think, matches up with Kaba Keita. I wonder if Yegor Demon will guard Grant Nelson because he's 6'9". BYU's kind of been putting Yegor on the opposing 4 because BYU doesn't have a true 4 out there. They have basically 4 guards Richie's kind of playing the four for BYU.
What a commodity.
Mag, right? He'll guard the best guard on the other team.
What a commodity to have a 6'9 guard that you can just say, oh, yeah, hey, go guard their big 6'10 guy.
Yeah, Nelson hits the glass hard. He's versatile. He doesn't shoot three super well, but, like, he just does a lot for you. Plus, he has a mustache, which
we can appreciate that. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation. Where does BYU have the biggest advantage against Alabama?
It's a getaway day, which means after the program, we're going to take a couple interviews that we'll show you tomorrow. Jay Billis, Jeff Chapman, shout out. We'll be live from Newark, New Jersey, coming up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for perhaps the biggest week in recent history in BYU basketball. Let's go.
Up next, time for our weekly segment with the great Sean Farnham of ESPN. What are his expectations for BYU-Bama? Where does he think the Cougars hold an advantage in this matchup against a prolific offense? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Coach looked us all in the eye and said, we went through this at Arizona, we went through this at Iowa State, and he said, believe in you guys, let's go out there and get a stop.
Enjoy this moment, figure out what the recipe for the next game is. Keep stacking them up. Yeah.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It's a Sweet 16 week. We've got the Sweet 16 t-shirts from the BYU store to celebrate the occasion. We are off to Newark a few hours after this show, but we have things to do again here in the studio, Bizzle, including welcoming in ESPN college basketball analyst Sean Farnham.
Busiest man in the game.
No, that's not even hyperbole. He literally is the busiest dude in college basketball coverage. He's finally back in his home state. And in Southern California, Sean, congratulations, man. First and foremost, just that you did it. You got to this point.
Mention the Cougar tail in SportsCenter.
Yeah, that and that too, man.
Thank you.
Yep.
I had to work that in. But, yeah, no, it was a gauntlet. I mean, it was a run. Look, I got my kids behind me now. So there's my youngest, Kellen's over my, my left shoulder. This is the time of year you want to be working. The run of 23 consecutive days was a lot. I was glad to sleep in my own bed last night for the first night. And then the ironic thing was thinking I was going to have a couple days off. I'll be on SportsCenter from Los Angeles tonight previewing the Sweet 16. Let's go. No time to rest. Let's go.
Yeah, we sleep in May, as John Rothstein says. Okay, BYU's in the Sweet 16. We'll get to the Bama matchup in a second. But
yeah, wait, hold on. Can I just clarify something? Because last week you guys had me come on, and you asked me specific questions about VCU, and I gave you my honest opinion on VCU as a quality basketball team.
Yep, yeah.
Some of your fan base felt that I betrayed them. I'm like, guys,
what?
I said there's a potential for an upset there. However, if you look at any bracket that I have publicly, you can go look at my bracket. I had BYU winning that game. I did have you losing to Wisconsin. That's where I had you losing.
Mm. Yeah. I had BYU in the Elite Eight, so I think they're winning Thursday. We'll talk about Bama in a second. But
by the way, in my family bracket that I did later, I do have BYU in the Elite Eight.
Let's go!
I'm not far away from you.
Let's go! Nice.
Okay, what impressed you the most about what BYU did against VCU in Wisconsin?
Well, I just think the level of execution and how it's two very different games, obviously. Let's lean to the latter in Wisconsin. The thing that stood out most to me, and I think that this is going to be the thing that stands out, and if it carries through, is going to be even more important, was the quality in which Yegor played with as far as limiting the number of turnovers. He had one turnover to 8 assists. I mean, that is, I think, as good as he's had in any game all season long, and he did it on the biggest stage. He's also been very efficient and confident in his shot and the way that he's approaching to get to his shot a little bit more than what we've seen, well, certainly when in some of those games I did earlier on in the season for BYU. So I think that growth, that continued development and confidence, which is something Kevin Young talked to me about right before the Kansas game in Provo, saying that we need him to be a scorer. We want him to be more comfortable. We want him to be more confident. That continues, I think, to develop, and I think adds just another layer and another dimension to this BYU offense. And look, you guys talk about the numbers in the last segment. I was sitting here waiting because you guys went long. But you know, the number of three-pointers made between these two teams, the efficiency in which they've played with. I mean, you're talking about two top 10 efficient offenses in all of college basketball now matching up here in the Sweet 16. But this has been earned by the depth of this team, the toughness. I think a lot of people have been taken back by the toughness. I personally haven't because I've seen it for years. But this is a tough group that rebounds the ball really well. They're unselfish and they move it very well. And all those things combined allows you to kind of take your game to the next level. I thought at times in the first game in particular versus VCU, Richie turning down the three and getting to that little floater game that he has, I thought was important because, you know, the people are going to continue to try to run BYU off the three-point line. How else can you score? How else can you operate and be successful? Kebakeda had a couple of good games. I forget which game it was that he had the 9 points, nine rebounds. I think it might have been the VCU game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and a couple of big blocks. Those are all, you know, it's just about the individual role and guys matching what they can do and maximizing how they can deliver and help the team win at this point in time. It's one game. This is not a series. And that's the one thing about the NCAA tournament. I've done a couple of interviews already today. People are like, well, it's very chalky. Yeah, it is chalky. I mean, but, you know, we do have a double-digit seed. It's in Arkansas. Maybe that's chalk because it's from the SEC. But with these expanded out supersized conferences, you're going to see more power conference teams, I think, filling up a lot of those spots.
Sean Farnham of ESPN is back on BYU Sports Nation. Look, we all know BYU has massively overachieved based on what expectations were for Kevin Young in year one. What does it mean that he has this team in their third ever Sweet 16 in year number one?
Well, I think it's just a testament to his connectivity with his kids and his willingness to grow too. I mean, you know, he's talked about it on his coaching show with you guys is like, you know, understanding the college game, it's different than the pro game. I thought a couple of his timeouts, in particular against Wisconsin, were great calls. Like the possession's going nowhere and he's just quick, like, bam, we need it. Nope, this ain't going to work. I'm not wasting this possession. And what comes down to a one possession game, it's execution and it's awareness from the coach to say, no, I'm not comfortable with how my team is organized right now. I want to make sure we get exactly what we want. And I think that he's done that throughout the course of the year. I talked about it in the Iowa State game. You guys tried to run that same play, by the way, where you put Richie Saunders in the back and then pass in the front court and have him try to run off of it. Didn't work this time like it did at Iowa State where you got him downhill and then you got an N1 in a pivotal moment in that game in Ames. But Kevin does such a great job of trying to put his guys in consistent positions where they have the advantage. And his understanding of the college game and his understanding of himself and where he needed to grow and change and adapt, because it is different. It's way different than the NBA, has been very impressive. It's been seamless. And because of that, now it sets BYU up because of this run, because of the success. I think it sets BYU up really good here for the next couple of years. I mean, I think you're going to see continued growth from Kevin Young. I think you're going to see a lot of people that go into the portal all of a sudden look and go, BYU, huh? Maybe I should go there. Like, and this is where I've talked about, like, we talk about the NIL and how it's maybe ruined Cinderella. Well, if there was an NIL, like, is AJ going to BYU? I'm just being honest, guys. Like,
no.
Probably not. You know, so
but also
like,
Kevin as a coach, right, and this staff. Like, it's yeah, not just it's the – that's the thing that annoys me in this conversation.
It's
and you're not
combo.
Saying this, but other people do.
No.
And you have to have both.
Yeah,
you have to win. You have to play a certain style. It's all of it.
But you have that now.
Yeah.
And because you have that, like, the talent level is getting spread out a little bit more in college basketball. But BYU is seemingly very well positioned because it has the right guy and the right financial stability behind it. To be able to operate in this current space a lot better than a lot of the other programs that, you know, have replaced coaches this year or are going to be replacing coaches in the next couple of years. And you know, I think player evaluation and understanding exactly the type of player you want, I think the staff has done a really good job. So I think if you're a BYU fan, you should be absolutely thrilled with the overall state of your program and certainly the leadership that you're getting out of Kevin Young.
It's never been more exciting, I think, as a football program and a major conference going 11-2, basketball, just massive green arrow pointed
and
up.
By the
it's
way,
awesome.
But credit your outgoing athletic director in just his positioning of this institution and this athletic department. I think that's something that maybe gets lost because we want to heap so much credit on the individual coach. But through that coaching search and that time period of Mark Pope all of a sudden getting up and leaving and going to Kentucky. And by the way, he's done a great job in Kentucky. He has them in the Sweet 16. But then going, okay, like, who's the next guy, right? Like who can we go get that makes sense? And you go get Kevin Young, who a lot of people thought wasn't necessarily going to be an option because he was destined to be a head coach in the NBA. And now look at what he's done in year one and how much fun he's having. Like he looks like he's really enjoying this. And I think that bodes really, really well for BYU.
Okay, BYU and Bama.
Credit to Tom. Yep. Credit to Tom.
Absolutely.
And the outstanding leadership that he's provided.
Okay, BYU is 11-1 in their last 12. Since February 11th, BYU is number 4 in overall efficiency margin. Alabama 7th. These are two of the best teams in the country right now. Obviously, Alabama favored, 2-seed BYU 6. How do you see this one playing out, and will we see 200 points?
Okay, so first and foremost, I want to correct you on a statement that you made in the first segment, Jerem.
Here it is.
You said in the first segment that the other fans would be pulling for you.
Spencer said that.
Do you think for 1 second that anybody wearing an Arizona t-shirt after the way that you won in the McHale Center is pulling for BYU? You have lost your mind.
Okay, fair point. Fair point on Arizona. I just feel like there will be a billion more Duke fans in the building that will be pulling for BYU. But you are right. On the Arizona front, no. Yeah. They will boo BYU.
There's no chance on another level. Arizona's like, yeah, let's root for the gutty BYU Cougars. Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair enough. Okay.
So back to Bama BYU.
Yes. So I think it's interesting. Like in listening to you guys talk in the previous segment about bench production, about all of those things. We can break it down even into simpler terms than all of that. If BYU values the basketball, you have an excellent chance of winning. If you allow Alabama to score in transition, then it's going to be problematic. Besides the three-pointers, Nate Oates plays that analytic game. He wants layups or threes. That's it. So a lot of those layups come off of turnovers, and they run as well as anybody off of those turnovers. So you have to value the basketball. Two, you have to understand this, and for some reason it blows my mind that nobody has been able to figure out this year. Mark Sears is left-handed. I promise you.
Force him
right!
He's
going to continue to go to his left.
Force him right!
And if you take away his left, he is likely to go more left. Like even in that game against, I think it was Auburn, he got to his left. Jump his left and force him right. Jump his left, force him right. And nobody's been able to do that. So, I mean, listen, I'm not in the practices right now at BYU. I'm not on the scouting report. But, man, I'd be reading, if you let him go left, you're coming out of the game. It's that simple. Trey Stewart, just don't let him go left. You know, I mean, like, you just can't let him go left. He wants to bully you. He's going to get you on his right shoulder, and he's going to pound into you, and then he's going to step back with that left hand. So you've got to keep him away from getting to his left. Then you want to force him to contested threes. The next step you have to understand is their ability to get to the dunker spot. I thought that really hurt St. Mary's, the lack of athleticism along their back line. They have great size, but they didn't have the athletes to jump up and at least disrupt that pass that they threw over the top of Mitchell Saxon's head a couple of times for some monster dunks in moments where the game got to 8. They're like, okay, one more miss here, and all of a sudden St. Mary's scores. Maybe the Gales go shift that pressure and put it on Alabama. They were never able to get to that point, in large part because they weren't able to contain the ball. So dribble penetration, force the back line to have to step, and then you're throwing up lobs to the rim. And Alabama does that as well as anybody. So there's two parts to that. One is, do you have the athleticism on the back line to be disruptive there? Two, can you contain off the bounce enough where you're not being forced to step up on that back line and vacating those spots, allowing them to get those easy lobs? That's another key, obviously, defensively for them. Offensively, I'm not really worried about what BYU can do. I think, you know, obviously transition threes in the corner, obviously going to be very important. I think you've got to test Grant Nelson. I don't think that his knee is still 100%. And so defensively, can you isolate him and look to drive him, attack him, and who he's guarding, get him into rotations? Maybe you can find some good things there. But I think this is going to be a high-level game. I do anticipate it's going to be high-scoring. I don't think it goes over 200 points to your question, Jerem, but I do think it's going to be really good.
Sean, let's finish with this. We've been discussing where BYU may hold a potential advantage against an incredibly talented and gifted Alabama team. If there is one that you would isolate on, what would that advantage look like?
Tater tots. I think it's always come down to tater tots.
Nice.
I think tater tots are really important
always
element
food.
Of this game. Yeah, it's always going to be food. Do you know that, by the way, when we were in Kansas City, I asked my producer to give me tater tots so I could eat them on set when BYU was playing. And they told us, the arena told us they could only make the TCU tater tots, which had all like the purple stuff all over the top of it or whatever it was. And I was like, no, just give me the tater tots. Just don't put the stuff on top of
yes.
it.
Yes.
And they're like, nope, can't do it. And I'm like,
a little stringent.
That's awful. So I didn't have tater tots.
Yeah. Adapt.
A little tough, sorry. Very disciplined. Very disciplined in the food services in the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. I do think, though, that Richie is playing at an elite level. And his awareness, his situational awareness, his not forcing the issue but yet being aggressive, and you can do both those things, meaning that if you force the issue, you're taking bad shots. If you have great situational awareness and you're being aggressive, you're understanding the spot on the floor you can get to where you think you can be successful. And I think Richie has continued to do that. I think his play has been outstanding. The consistency, the efficiency in which he plays with, he needs to continue to play at the elite level that you're seeing on your screen right now. Those splits are just comical. I mean, nobody really has those splits in the last 12 games in college basketball as far as the efficiency goes. There may be guys that score a little bit more, but you know, he's going to be a focal point for Alabama's defense. And I think they'll probably end up putting Diabate on him, who is a really good defensive player and has great length. How that disrupts Richie and how they have to play off of that, I think is going to be really interesting. This might be a game where Richie doesn't get to 20 points, but because of his aggressiveness and then kickouts, he's opening up the offense for a lot of other players. And so that's going to be fun to watch.
Sean, great to talk to you as always. Awesome insight. Yes, Arizona fans still probably don't like BYU. But we're just happy that BYU is there in the Sweet 16 and have an opportunity. Glad that you're back in Southern California. We'll see you on SportsCenter LA tonight.
Yeah, I'll be on SportsCenter LA tonight previewing games. I might be once again previewing this game. We'll find out when my producer reaches out to me. But it's going to be fun. And hey, you know, by the way, you guys look cute in the same shirts.
Thanks.
Thanks,
that's
bro.
That's the adjective we were seeking.
Way to go, brothers.
Thanks, Sean. We'll talk to you later.
You're like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, twins.
Wait, I'm Arnold, right?
I do love,
of course,
I do love Jersey Mike's.
We all know you work out a lot.
Oh, Sean, we love you, man. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Bye, Sean.
You guys are the best. Hey, next week. Next week, are we talking about going to San Antonio? That'll be the question.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go. Oh, the great Sean Farnham. You're cute.
No one's like Sean.
You guys are cute.
You guys are cute. Okay, you look cute, too. If you missed any of our coverage of the NCAA tournament so far, BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel loaded. It's always there. National analysts, players, coaches. Awesome.
We'll keep it rolling after the break. An update from Kalani Sitake. Oh, yeah. BYU football still in spring practices. Headlines next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan, and these are your headlines.
Six-seed men's basketball heads to Newark, New Jersey today, this morning, in fact, in just a little bit, 2 days away from the Sweet 16 against Alabama. BYU Sports Nation live coverage. Spencer and I will be in New Jersey starting tomorrow through Friday.
I believe it's a soft J, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yes, yes. So
I think we'll be live from the Sopranos driveway.
Okay.
That's where we're doing the show, I think.
BYU football begins their final week of spring practices as of yesterday. After practice, Kalani Sitake spoke on the progress he has seen as a head coach from his team so far.
This is it's exactly where I want us to be as a team, but we got to keep pushing along. I mean, can't get complacent or think that we've arrived. We got a long ways to go. So this last week's going to be important for us and what we want to get going before we gain momentum before we get to the offseason.
BYU with two more practices before they finish up spring ball and enter summer workouts. Alumni flag football game Friday night, 8 Eastern, 6 Mountain.
That'll be fun. Sitake was named to the board of trustees of the American Football Coaches Association yesterday. He's one of seven coaches added. We'll join Kansas State's Chris Kleiman as two coaches representing the Big 12.
The NCAA selections announced Monday for the 2025 Gymnastics Regionals. BYU will compete in the Utah Regional at the Huntsman Center in Salt Lake City. That's nice, local. BYU will go head-to-head with Utah State in a dual meet on Wednesday, April 2nd. If the Cougars win that dual meet, they'll advance to face Utah, Denver, and Stanford on day two.
Softball looks to win its fifth straight tonight at Utah Valley, 8 Eastern, on ESPN+.
BYU women's golf currently in seventh place after the first round at the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational in Lahaina, Hawaii. MJ Berrigan currently tied for first after shooting 4 under par and carding 7 birdies in her round,
okay,
the most of any participant. BYU tees off in round two later this afternoon.
Men's golf is in eighth place after 36 holes at the Bridgestone Invitational in Napa Valley, California. Seniors Cole Ponich, Zach Jones tied for 22nd at 2 over par to lead the Cougs. They teed off in the final round just minutes ago.
After the break, it's time to reintroduce you all to an All-American for BYU Swim. Mackenzie Miller-Lung is here with her head coach, Tamber McAllister. If you don't know what she did, you definitely need to stick around. This is BYUSN. Swimmer Mackenzie Miller-Lung had an incredible showing at the NCAA Swim and Dive Championships over the weekend.
I seriously, like, could not have done it without Tamber.
Miller-Lung was BYU's first runner-up in an event since 1991. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B.
No one does swimming music videos like BYU Sports Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
We're at the top of the chain there.
Come on.
And speaking of top of the chain, let's welcome in BYU's newest All-American. She is Mackenzie Miller-Lung and her head coach, Tamber McAllister. Welcome to both of you. Congratulations.
Welcome back.
Unforgettable performance.
So good.
Thank you.
Okay, how does it feel to be a two-time All-American?
Crazy. It's kind of, it's insane. Honestly, having like all these people who I was like fans of, knowing who I am, I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane.
Okay, in the 100 and 200 breaststroke, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All-American. What was it like, Tamber, to watch Mackenzie do her thing?
Oh, it was pretty awesome. She, the goal throughout the year was just to try and be as consistent as she could. And she kind of made a breakthrough at Big 12s. And I think that helped her realize what her potential was. And she went all in that last month of training. And it was great to see it kind of come to fruition and pay off.
What are your emotions like, Coach, watching her as she finishes and pushes for a second place finish in the 200 meter breaststroke?
I mean, I think we were all in tears at one point and just so much joy and happiness and celebrating and jumping and dancing and all of it.
Did you feel like, hey, I'm kind of in contention here in the middle of the competition?
Yeah, I mean, I went in first seed after prelims, and I remember after prelims just being so shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, like first seed, like right now I'm first in the nation. So going into finals, I was just ready to have fun and see what I could do. And like right when I dove in the water, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun.
So you were feeling it.
Yeah, I was feeling great.
Feeling good.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome. And then when you emerge and you see second, what are the emotions like?
Should I be honest?
Honestly, were you upset you didn't win?
I was a little upset, yeah.
You thought you'd win. Yeah. You're a competitor.
She wanted to.
Yeah,
for sure.
I touched the ball and I was like, oh, dang it. Like, second place. But then I was like, oh, but like, second place. Like, I need to be happy because that's the fastest time I've ever gone and second in the nation, all American. But I think it's Tamber was telling me it's good that I have those feelings because I'm a competitor. Like, I want to win.
I think Jerry Seinfeld talks about taking third is actually better than second because you're not that mad. You're like, at least I was there. Like, and it happened so fast. That's the competitor, right? And her, I wanted to win this. You expected to win.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's what makes an elite athlete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always finding ways to want and drive themselves to be better.
There's no first team All-Americans that are happy to be there. Like, yay, I finished eighth or whatever. Nope, nope, I want to win.
Mackenzie Miller-Lung and Tamber McAllister on BYU Sports Nation. After you finish second and it settles in and you realize that you're the first runner-up in an event at BYU since 1991. Okay, when were you born, Mackenzie?
2004.
Okay, so 13 years before you were born is the last time this happened. When did the reality of, oh, this is special, set in for you?
Yeah, it was, honestly, once I like opened my phone and I saw all of my like teammates and all my friends texting me being like, that was an amazing swim. I was like, oh, this is for real. And then like walking on deck and having all these people just like coming up to me being like, congratulations, you did so good. I was like, oh my gosh, I like come from this school that like, we didn't even have any girls at NCAA last year. And now like second place in the nation. It's crazy. I'm so glad I got to represent BYU in that way.
This is the beginning of what we hope is even more, right? Not only for you, but the team. So where are we going with this? Because this is a great start.
Yeah, I think the guys set some excitement last year, making a good amount into the NCAA championships. And I think Kenzie thrived off of that. Like, she saw that and she's like, I want that, you know? And so we just got to keep it rolling. And you know, I'm somebody that I always want more as well. Mm-hmm. So keep building and building more.
Building is the operative word here for the entire athletic department, it feels like. Yeah. Look at every program. You're like, wow, okay. It's just all really special right now. It feels that way. So what's it like, this is a question for both of you, as a coach, to be in the athletic department at BYU right now and see the overall consensus rise of BYU?
Yeah, I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. You know, BYU is something special, and that's what we try and sell to our recruits, is if you want to be treated well and compete at the highest levels, then come here to BYU.
And same question for you, Mackenzie.
It's awesome just getting to be a part of it. Like, I feel like growing up, always watching BYU and being a BYU fan, and now, like, getting to be an athlete here along with all these other amazing athletes. Like, right after the 200 breaststroke, we opened up our media guy's computer, and we were watching the basketball game, and I was like, oh my gosh, we go to an amazing school. This is great.
We celebrated a little loud, and the Wisconsin coaches were in front of us. Right there.
So we were like, oh, sorry, guys.
Cheese curd steak.
No apology necessary.
Yeah.
Come
awesome.
On.
That is awesome.
Cosmo greater than Bucky.
Right? It stands there. It doesn't do anything. What's next for you?
We have a meeting about that today, right now I'm hoping that I can get to, because long course season starts now that college is over, I'm hoping I can make the Worlds team or go to World University Games later this summer.
That'd be awesome.
And I've got Nationals coming up at the end of the summer, so lots of big things
and
ahead.
And you're junior.
Senior year next year.
Let's go.
That's the best news ever.
It's great.
That's
great. Yeah, it is.
Can you find an exception in there again? Like something? Can you stay on with two more
honestly,
years?
Honestly, I don't know.
Who knows? Coach, let's get on that. We're thinking of, okay, this is not a joke. After you came on the show the first time, I had somebody reach out to me on social media and say, Spencer, what does Mackenzie do with her hair as a swimmer? Because she has.
I was literally thinking that same thing.
She has incredible hair.
Not
often the swimmer has that luxury, but you do. I said,
oh my gosh.
I'm going to ask
when
she comes back.
That's awesome. Even it's funny because last time I literally had my hair up, but then this time I was like, to wear my hair down, and we were talking about my hair right before the interview.
It always comes up
because honestly it's like really hard to take care of as a swimmer, but I just like don't use heat on it. For all my swimmers and like other girls who are like crazy about their hair, I don't use heat on my hair. I like only wash it a couple times a week. I try and like hair oil every day.
Hair oil every day.
Yeah,
okay,
hair oil every day. Keep it. Yeah, I got a process. Usually it's not down and nice. Usually it's up. But when it is down, I'm like, oh, this is great. That's
awesome. I don't know if it's one of your friends. I got to go back and look.
Maybe it was.
I will ask that question. Hard hitting journalism.
That's what we cover
BYU
here on the
sports
program.
Yeah, it's really important. We talk about NCAAs and then we talk about hair.
Great stuff. Congratulations.
Thank
to you.
You.
Two-time All-American. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming in.
More yes, greatness thank you so
you
much.
Coach,
for
thanks
having
as
us.
Well. You got it. All right. After the break, more hair care conversation or not. Where do you feel like BYU holds the biggest advantage over Alabama in their Sweet 16 matchup? You answer the question. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Where does BYU hold the biggest advantage over Alabama? Matt Williams on X says, to paraphrase a famous philosopher, I don't know, but I'm about to find out.
I think BYU leads in missions, maple donuts.
Yes.
Tater tots, all that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from McGarry15 on X, who says, statistically, these two teams are very similar. Great offensively, shared the ball, deep rotations, playing very well. So really, it comes down to one thing. Tater tots! Long live the tater tot king.
Let's go.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Hey, the men's basketball team leaving here in like 45 minutes.
Come on.
Duncan Aviation, if you aren't over there already, get there. Send off. Let's go.
Let's go. All right. And we will go. Our thanks to today's guests, Sean Farnham, Mackenzie Miller-Lung, and Tamber McAllister.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta. Ran out of time. Jay Billis on the program tomorrow.
Ooh. For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Mike Maxwell from that 81 men's basketball team. Elite Eight Vibes. Go Cougs. See you tomorrow in New Jersey.